Now is the time to listen to the Dhamma. So you sit here in meditation, listening to the Dhamma, and you make your mind peaceful and collected. Because when we're listening to the Dhamma with a peaceful and collected mind, then this gives rise to great benefit, to incredible benefit. One is able to attain to the Dhamma, to see the Dhamma clearly. But if you're not intent on listening, if the mind is busy and distracted about various issues, various things, then the benefit and fruit of listening to the Dhamma is little. We see that the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma is very difficult to find. For instance, we can look at the example of Queen Samawati and her retinue of 500 maidservants. They didn't have the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma of the Buddha, but the maid in charge of buying flowers, Kajutara, she was in charge of buying flowers to decorate the palace, and she had the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma from the Buddha and realize stream entry. In the beginning, she went to buy flowers, but there she had corruption. She would take some of the money for herself. But then one day she bought more flowers than normal, and Queen Samawati had this question or doubt arise in her mind, why are there more flowers than normal today? So she asked her maid Kajutara, why is this? And then the maid Kajutara explained that before she was corrupt and stealing, and then having listened to the Dhamma, she had no more desire to steal, no more corruption. And she answered directly that she had gained understanding in the Dhamma. So having heard this, Queen Samawati wanted to listen to the Dhamma herself as well. This faith arose in the Buddha that one is able to get this kind of fruit and benefit like this. So having given the flowers, the maid Kajutara then gave a Dhamma talk to Queen Samawati and her retinue. And Queen Samawati and her retinue realized stream entry because this quality of faith they had already, and they were very intent to listen as well. So they had this firm application of mind. The mind wasn't distracted or thinking. Just like for ourselves, so we come here, we apply our minds, we're intent to listen to the Dhamma. We're sitting here, we have this physical form, this body, this mind, so we're ready to learn the Dhamma. We establish mindfulness in the present, we watch the breath as it goes in and out, or we listen to the sound of the Dhamma talk, the sound of the speaking. If it's in the Thai language, it's no problem. Just make your mind still and peaceful. And even if you don't understand, you can have this feeling of fullness in the mind. Just like in the time of the Buddha, there was a frog who was listening to the Dhamma. And the frog wasn't able to understand the meaning of the words, but felt rapture and happiness in its mind. So we see that even if we don't know what's being spoken, we're able to get a feeling in the heart if the mind is sufficiently still and peaceful. So therefore we make the effort not to think, not to have a distracted or busy mind thinking about other things, but we apply the mind to have mindfulness, to have apply the mind to be in the present. So all of us here, from various places and so on, have this faith, this belief, this inspiration in the Buddha that's full in our hearts. So we've had this effort, this striving to come here from far and wide, to come on this retreat. We have given, sacrificed our time, our work. We've let go of our duties and responsibilities. So we have faith in this way, And therefore, we set our hearts on having effort because we have this desire to know and see the Dhamma. That's true for all of us. Just like myself, before I ordained, I was just like you all. I had this interest. I wanted to learn, to seek, to understand. So I went to listen to the Dhamma from the mother, father, great teacher. And I had this desire to know and see, to understand the Dhamma. Then the great master has the effort to teach us. And so we have this faith, this effort to strive and practice. We have the quality of patient endurance, of kanti, of enduring. We have generosity, virtue. But still, even then, our mind is jumping around like a monkey. The thoughts just won't stop. So we have to come to control the mind through the meditation object, through the kamatana. So during the day, whether sitting, standing, walking, or lying down, we have mindfulness. We recite Bhutto a lot. We recite Bhutto very quickly so that we're not thinking about anything else. We're just thinking about Bhutto. So we have this effort to practice like this, entering this retreat. We also contemplate the body as something not beautiful, as a heap of the four elements, as something unclean, impermanent. And so we can use this as a with a meditation word as well, like reciting the body parts in Pali, like kesa, loma, naka, danta, tacho, or in English, like hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin. So we can use this as a meditation word, meditation mantra, so that we're not thinking elsewhere. Because if we don't have a meditation word, then we don't have mindfulness, and the mind proliferates about other things. When the mind's not peaceful. And when the mind's not peaceful, we don't see the path. We don't see the way of practice. We don't see the path to the end of suffering. And when this happens, then doubt arises. We start to have doubts. Oh, is what we're doing correct or not? And these doubts make the mind waver and unstable. Then we might go to read the suttas, the texts. And reading it, we might get some ease of heart through that. But then we still don't know the way of practice, and so the mind wavers like this. So this is delusion or ignorance. So the Mother, Father, Great Master teaches us to put down the texts first, to be careful about the suttas, about the texts and books at this stage of practice. But to make effort to endeavor to practice according to the teachings of the Buddha, to the teachings of Venerable Ajahn Chah. Venerable Ajahn Chah, who studied the Dhamma from Venerable Ajahn Mun and realized arahantship through that. And so the Sangha leads in the practice, teaches the Dhamma according to Lumpu Cha, Venerable Ajahn Chah. What this means is to keep a watch over the heart and mind, not to fall into attraction or aversion towards anything, but whatever mood or sense impression arises, whatever feeling or thought arises, we understand that it's impermanent, it's stressful, it's not self. So we don't cling to that sense impression, but we teach the mind right there, not to get lost in the sense impression or mood. Because these sense impressions, that's the place where liking and disliking arise. And so we train the mind not to get lost in them, but we train the mind to stay in the middle, not having attraction, not having aversion, but having equanimity, upekkha, not liking or disliking. And through this, the strength and energy of equanimity grows and grows. In this way, the mind can separate out from the sense objects. The mind becomes gathered together. We see that the mind is one thing, the sense impressions are another. They're not related, they're no longer intertwined. Because if we don't have mindfulness and wisdom, then the mind gets involved with these sense objects, these sense impressions, gets intermixed with them, gets mixed up together with these sense objects and moods. And this happens for our entire life if we don't train. So therefore we need to train to have effort to apply our minds, keep a watch over the mind. If we think a good thought or think a bad thought, and we don't cling to it, we let go. We see it's impermanent, stressful, and not self. If memories, old perceptions arise, we put them down. We let them go. Mental formation, sense consciousness, we see it all as not self. See whether it's a sight, sound, taste, or smell, touch, mind object. None of it is self, and so we don't cling to any of it. In this way, we're able to keep the mind in the middle. We teach the mind to let go, not to get lost in these sense objects. So we watch over the mind, we know the mind. And when we practice like this, we're able to overcome the snares of Mara, which is to overcome all suffering. So we train, we practice, and soon we'll be taking food. So we have care with regard to this process of eating. We take on the practice of not speaking at all, but instead to watch over the mind, to see what the mind is thinking. Is the mind busy and distracted? If the mind's thinking a lot, then we stop right there. And so we can eat little. And when we are eating, we take a look and see, is the mind distracted? We observe the process of chewing, of swallowing. We observe the food as it goes down into the stomach. Where does the food go? We contemplate, we follow it. Before, the food was delicious and tasty. Then we put it in our mouth and chew it. It gets mixed with saliva. And whatever value that food previously had is gone. However good it was, it's no longer valuable. So we contemplate like this. We see that the body is unclean in this way. And then all the different types of food, like the rice and side dishes, desserts, they all gather in one place in the stomach. And once it's all gathered there, then we don't want to look at it anymore. So we contemplate like this. Whether we're sitting, standing, walking, lying down, we contemplate. We have mindfulness. We recite our meditation word. And we do this a lot. We develop it a lot. This is the way to bring the mind to peace and collectedness. And the mind that's peaceful and collected is able to understand the practice of Dhamma very well.